Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7, and this should be pretty popular to us, right? It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Let me ask you a question. If God has prepared things for you because you love him, what things has God prepared for those that don't love him? Nothing. Nothing. Do you see that there's a difference between sheep and goats? Like, are we, in other words, have we gotten so left-minded, right, that we actually believe that because God so loved the world that he looks at everybody as equal? Like, do we really believe that? Have we gotten so accustomed to what the world tells us about equality and every person is not a child of God. God does not look upon the world and say, look at all my children. That is not so. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not a child of God. You are not his. You're not considered a descendant of Abraham. You're not considered a child of God. You are not of the house of Jacob. There are those that are children of God. There are Jewish people that are physical descendants of Abraham that are not children of God. The Jewish people are not the children of God. The Jewish people are not the children of God. A child of God, that's why he made the two one. And today, there are Jews, right? But if you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you are a true Jew. You are his. So just because someone is born into a Jewish culture does not make him a true Jew, right? The Bible says that, you know what? God would make, he says, just because a person is circumcised on the eighth day doesn't make him a child of God anymore, right? That the things that the Lord has done, here's what he did. He took and united everything in heaven and in earth. He, the Lord, right, that created everything, he said he united everything in heaven and earth all into him. So that means, so the only ones that can be his and stay unshakable regardless of what happens are those that are his, right? Those that are of his house, right? Those that are of his house. So he says, which in verse number 9, again, let's read verse number 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for us, for those who love him. Right? Can you imagine leaving an unbeliever? Could you imagine what a horrific thing it would be and how terrible? I mean, because we talk about sins, right? Listen, I'm going to tell you something that probably someone may not like, right? I would rather watch a movie that has curse words in it. In other words, and forget about curse words, that has words that people consider inappropriate than to watch a word that badmouths my father. I'd rather, and I'm not advocating with that, go out there and watch movies that have profanity, like people call it. But you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, what we consider, even the Christian community, would rather watch a movie about a person, right, who all this stuff, especially Christian ways of doing movies, right, where people die and then they blame it on God and then they understand that God was trying to teach them something through the death of their mother, and that through the death of their mother they came to really be at a place where they were at peace with God and didn't hold it against them anymore, and then the movie was over. They're bad-mouthing your father. They're saying that your father is the author of death, that God is happy with seeing people suffer, that suffering comes from God, that God, in order to teach people lessons, lets bad things happen to them. that is a horrible thing to watch. But we would be more happy sometimes watching something like that because there was no profanity in it. Well, at least, you know what, it wasn't right, you know, but they didn't say right things about God, but at least there was no profanity, it was clean. I see it the opposite. I would rather watch some kind of action movie about some guy that doesn't even know God and doesn't mention my Lord in it, right? And does some kind of thing and solves a mystery and the movie's over, than to watch some other thing that is blasphemy the God who is my Father. You understand what I'm saying? That sometimes we are in our way of thinking, right? You have to see what is the most important thing and what are the least of the important things, right? It's not profanity that's keeping people out of the kingdom of God, right? It's not the way they talk. It's not the drugs that they do. It's not the alcohol that they drink. It's not the way they are towards their spouse that's keeping people out of the kingdom of God. It's the lack of knowledge of who Jesus is that's keeping people out of the kingdom of God. Right? So look at what he says. It says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. He says, but God has revealed them to us. Listen to what it says. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So you know what that says? You never have to feel pressured by someone putting you on the spot, asking you something, saying things about your Father when they don't even know him. In other words, the first question would be, hold on a second, before I even answer your question because you're trying to dictate to me and challenge my Father, do you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you? And if they say no, said, I can't even talk to you. How can you talk to someone and defend your Father, right, if they don't even have him, they don't even know him? In other words, they don't even know what they're talking about. They can't know what they're talking about because no one can know anything about God except by the Spirit of God. And no one can know. Look what it says again in the latter part of verse number 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God. The things of God. Nothing about God can be known except what? By what? By the Spirit of God. Look at what it says about you in verse number 12. But we have received not the spirit of the world. And there is a spirit of the world, right? We're solid on that, right? There is a spirit that is in the world and there's a spirit that is in believers. We've not received the spirit that is of the world, but the spirit who is of God. Why? So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God, right? The things that have been freely given to us of God. Let me just show you something. You know, when I see things like that, you know, like, where was God? You know what they do? In the picture was a house that was hanging off. It was a house that was by the shore. And the picture that they took is a house hanging off, destroyed by the hurricane. So listen to the mentality, and I pray to God that that virus and that poison has not entered into your mind, right? That you would actually think that God, our Father, is watching destruction upon the earth, and he's up there chewing double mint gum and saying, you know what, I'll do something when I feel like doing it. Because you know what, that house destroyed, that little child right there just drowned in the hurricane, that entire family dead. Look at the woman there with gashes in her head, and she's dead too. Is that what we think that God does? That he sits up there in heaven watching the destruction and says, oh, well, I could have done something, but I just decided not to. Why? Because I didn't feel like it. Like, is that what we think about our Father? That we would allow someone who doesn't know him, doesn't have the Spirit of God in them, and you're talking to me about who you think God is? You can't even begin to even know who he is. You shouldn't be uttering his name because you don't even know what a God means. There is a God and there is a Spirit and it's work at you, but it's not the one that's in me. Right? There is a difference between sheep and goats. There is a difference between a believer and a non-believer. There is a difference between a person that has the Spirit of God and a person that doesn't, right? And if we can know that, listen, God is God over his house. Let me show you. Can we go to Genesis chapter 28? This is a pretty cool thing. A pretty cool thing. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 12. So this is Jacob, right? Jacob, if you remember how God would announce himself, and he announced himself like this to Jacob, he says, you know, Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. God is the God, he would say, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What about all the other people? He's the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What about all the other people? I mean, listen, Abraham was not the only man living upon the face of the earth. Isaac and Jacob were not the only men there, right? What about Ishmael? What about Ishmael, right? Isaac was the son of Abraham, but Ishmael is also the son of Abraham, isn't he? Ishmael is the son of Abraham. God is not the God of Ishmael. God is not the God and was never the God of Ishmael, right? And to the majority of his descendants, he was not their God. Listen to how he announces himself. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, he's speaking to Jacob here, so obviously he's not telling him that he's his God yet. And you'll see later on, Jacob says, you know, you're not my God, but if these things happen, you will be my God. So here's what happens in verse number 12, that Jacob dreams a dream. And it says, and behold, he says, he saw a ladder which was set up on the earth, and it reached and its top reached the heavens. So what was it? It was a ladder that went from where? From earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. The top of it reached to heaven. But the cool thing is that the ladder did not get set up on the earth and go to heaven. The ladder came from heaven and came down to the earth. That's an important thing to see. God didn't set up a ladder from earth to heaven. You know why? No one could have reached it. There is no individual, there was nothing going on upon the earth where a man could have said, I will set up a ladder and a way to make it from earth all the way to heaven. Men, even though men try to do it today, that's blasphemy against God and against the work of Jesus Christ. For anybody to think that they could actually have a way where they could reach from earth and have a ladder to reach the heavens where the Father is, right? That anyone would think. Can I go a little further than what we're saying here? There is no individual that can hear the voice of God except he have the Spirit of God. Cannot hear. Can't hear the Lord, right? Can't hear the Lord because they don't know him. They can't. It may sound to them like thunder. It may sound to them like something else, but it ain't going to sound to them like a God, right? It ain't going to sound to them like their God. So look at what he says. So he says, he saw a ladder that was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels. It says, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So in other words, the things that used to be just of heaven began to come to a place where what? Where the things of heaven now were coming into the earth. Where the things, in other words, that are of one kingdom no longer remain in just that kingdom, but that the things that are of that kingdom now begin now to come into this earth, right? And look what it says. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And that's an important thing to see, right? The Lord was speaking to Jacob, but he was speaking from the top of the ladder, right? At the top of it, he was speaking to Jacob, at the top of the ladder. The top of the ladder, where did it reach? It reached heaven. So where was he speaking from? He was speaking from heaven, from the top. He was speaking down to Jacob, right? And look at what he says. He says, I am the Lord God. What is he? We shouldn't even skip over little words like that, right? Because they're not small. He says, I am the Lord God. So you know what we should know? That when you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that means something. That means something. That doesn't mean that you're just going to heaven. That means something. If he is your God and he is your Lord, right? That means that his Spirit is on the inside of you. That means something. That's not just something that you can just say flippantly. Oh, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Oh, yeah. No, it means something. For you to say that God is my God, that means that there's a difference between you having your God in you and somebody that doesn't have God, right? There's an enormous, enormous difference, right? You're made partaker now of heaven and earth. The things of heaven, in other words, and we talked about it like this, the kingdom of God has come. You know what Jesus said? He said, if the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, then surely the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. In other words, the reign of God has come. Right? Stay with me. My God, it'll help you. I can't think of anything more important right now that would help you other than this right now. If you just listen real quick. In verse number 13, he said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. He says, Abraham and Isaac, obviously, because he's Jacob, the third one, right? He says, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Look how important this is. He said, the land on which you lie, in other words, the earth that you're on, he said, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants. But know this, right? That the descendants there means seed. I'm going to give that earth that you're on to you and to your seed. So that means that if they are not of the seed of Abraham, which, you know, here's something interesting. Who was the father of Jacob? Isaac, right? And who was the father of Isaac? Abraham. But how did God announce himself to Jacob? He said, I am the God of your father, Abraham, right? Look at what he says in just the previous, in verse number 13. He said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. Don't you think that Jacob knew who his daddy is? He said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. And it says the God of Isaac. But the funny thing is, what does Galatians say to us about Abraham? He said that we are sons of Abraham. It speaks about our father, Abraham. Why would it call Abraham, of all people, right? Supposedly an Old Testament figure in the book of Genesis. Why would it call him your father? Because he is the first to be given a covenant of faith. And what is it that you live with? The same covenant of faith. And Abraham believed God, and Abraham was righteous before the Lord, right? So this ladder that you're looking at, I'll get to that in a second. So he said, I'm the God of Abraham, your father, and of Isaac. And he said, I'll give you this land. And verse number 14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and to the south. And you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Look at verse 15. Behold, I am with you. Look at what it means. Look at what it means to have a God. Like to have a God. Listen to what it means. He says, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. That means whether you're in a hurricane, whether you live in Florida, whether you live in Texas, whether you live in the Caribbean, wherever you live, wherever you are, God says to you, right? And he is a God who does not lie and who keeps his word, right? He says, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. Do you see how substantial that promise is? He says, I am your God and I will keep you wherever you go. So here's the question that bears asking, right? If God is not the God of someone that you know, can God keep them? Can God protect them? Can God do anything for them? The answer is no. God is God over his house. Listen, if we can see that today before we leave, and we know God is God only over his house. And the people that are not of that house have no say and speak ignorantly of a father they do not know. So the media can't, how can the media that doesn't know the Lord pressure and spread? They can try to spread stuff, but you know what? It's just ignorant speaking. And the more that the gospel goes out and the more that people know the truth, right? Then hearing stuff like that won't do anything for them. Why? Because they know. There's a difference between those that are of the house of God and those that aren't. So look at what happens. He said, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. When I'll bring you back to this land. In other words, I'm going to give you this. You will inherit the earth. It's the same thing that he told his father, Abraham, right? And he actually did tell his earthly father, Isaac, the same thing. Look what he says. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you, right? So that place where he was, which is important. And if you can just stay with me just to be able to hear the things that we're saying here, right? He's going to give the place a name. Can you just hear this? He's going to give the place that he is a name. And when he gives that place a name, and you know what? Let's just pray for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just pray, my Lord, in the name of Jesus, my Father, that if we agree, Lord, if we agree that the things, my God, that are being said right now are more important, Lord, than the things that need to happen in a half hour, in an hour, in 2 hours, in 3 hours, that if we believe, Lord Jesus, that by your word, Lord, is life, my God, when we hear, I pray, my God, that patience would rise up, Lord, on the inside, Lord, from the inside of every believer in this place, Father, just a patience and a stillness, Lord, to come over us, my Father. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would acknowledge you even now, Lord. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that hearing can only come from you. And that the things, my Father, that are going to be said here as we finish up, Lord, we thank you, my God, that they will be things that your Spirit can teach us that can change the way that we think. Change the way that we think, my God, and prosper, that we can prosper and we can continue to be in health, Lord, even as our soul prospers. Father, that we don't have to wait until a tragedy happens, Lord, to be able to run to you for refuge, Lord. That we don't have to wait, my God, until a horrible diagnosis comes. That we don't have to wait until we're helpless and things are destroyed in order then to begin. But thank you, Lord, that today, my Father, is the day that you have set aside, Lord, today. Today is today, Lord, and only in today can a decision be made, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that it's by you. Thank you, Lord. So look at what it says. It says in verse number 15, he promises them, I'll be with you. I'll keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So the place, he's going to give that place a name. The place where you are, listen, the place where we are, right? We're believers, right? The place where we are is the place from where God speaks. And that's important to understand, right? No one can know God except the Spirit of God. But just back up for a second. The thing is that no one can hear the Lord speak except the ones that have him. So therefore, the place that he's going to describe us a second is the place from where God speaks. What happens? Jacob was in a place, right? And there's a lot of pieces here and symbolic things, but Jacob was in a place, and in that place he heard God speak. So when he wakes up from his dream, look at what he says. Then Jacob awoke in verse number 16 from his sleep and said, surely, listen, the Lord is in this place. He's going to give the place a name. Don't think about geographic location, just place. He's going to name the place. Surely the Lord is in whatever the place is that he's going to name. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome it is. How awesome is this place? Again, place. Watch what he names it. This is none other than what? The house of God. He names the place that he is. Listen, he calls it the house of God. The house of God, the place where he is, he says, this place that I'm in right now, he says, surely I didn't know that the Lord was in this place, and he named the place the house of God. Now, let me ask you a question. What is a house, right? Why is it that you call your house, that's your house? Why? Because that's the place where you dwell, right? That's the place where you dwell. That is the dwelling place. That's your dwelling place. That's the place where you abide, right? That's the place where you abide. That's your house. Now, you may not like the house you live in, but that's your house. You may want to move to somewhere else, but that's your house right now. Why? Because that's the place where you dwell, right? That's the place where you dwell, which, just as a little side note, is more important than the house you live in, right? The home that you live in is less important than your house being the house of God. So he calls the place the house of God, the place where God dwells. And look at what he says. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. What is the gate of heaven? The gate of heaven is the access to heaven. The gate of heaven is the access to heaven. He called the place where he was the access to heaven. The access, the gate to heaven, or the door of heaven. He called the place the door of heaven or the house of God. Now look at what he says. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put on his head, set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, which is great stuff to be said about that. And then verse number 19, he said, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel, right? Now we have, right in Sullivan County here, we have a Bethel, right? A Bethel, New York. Bethel, what does that mean? El is God. Beth, right, is house. House of God. Beth El. House of God. House of God. Now let me show you something real quick. Then he says he called it Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, and here's what he said. If God will be with me, He's repeating to God what God said to him. He said, if God will be with me, if he will keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Then the Lord shall be. That was the vow that he made. In other words, he said to the Lord, if you keep your word, you'll be my God. So let me show you where we can close up here. And I wish that there was a little bit more time, but there are other services for that too. So look at what he says. Let me just close up with you here. Let me give you at least one of them. Yeah, Genesis 31, and look at verse number 13. And listen to what happens. At this point in Jacob's life, here's what he's been seeing. He went and he fell in love with a woman. Jacob fell in love with Rebekah. But what happened is the father of Rebekah, right, all that he wanted to do was deceive him. He wanted basically free labor from this man who was an excellent worker. And what he did is he changed his wages. He would deceive him. He supposedly was trying to be very kind to his face, but would deceive him. Listen, can I just tell you this? The world that you live in is filled with deception, filled wall to wall deception, right? Can I just tell you this so that you don't think all of us that are in this place are not as prepared as we should be to live in the world that we live in today? You know why? Because there are things that easily beset us that should not. Easily throw us off. Easily beset us. Easily cast us down that should not. In other words, because of who we have on the inside of us, we should be of those that know that we're out of the reach of God and nothing throws us off. In other words, that you can see something terrible happen in the life of another person and that should not dissuade your faith in God. That should not change what you think and what you know. Listen, there are some people that are so weak and so teetering on what they know that if something were to happen to a loved one that they have, someone very close to them, that would destroy what they have in God. Destroy it. Because it happened to a dear loved one, right? Since when do the things that happen in the people's lives dictate who God is? It doesn't matter if every person you love dies right in front of your face and they all die of the same reason. Does that change the goodness of God because everyone you love dies? Every single person. It could come to pass that everything that happens, terribly, terrible things, 10,000 people fall at your right side. Does that change who God is? But we're so easily tossed because one thing happens, right? Two things happen, three things happen. God forbid 10,000. But things happen around the life. And you know what? That's it. God must not be God. This must not be true. Why? Because we judge him based on what you see. The world is filled with deception and God can teach you in such a way that you would know who he is. And that does not mean everybody knows who he is. Because you know who he is, that's awesome. That doesn't mean your husband knows who he is. That doesn't mean your wife knows who he is. That doesn't mean your children will know. Because you know God doesn't mean your children are going to know God. Because you, listen, Abraham loved God, right? There were so many men. Samuel loved the Lord. His children were the exact opposite of him. The exact opposite of Samuel. Yet he was a man of God and God did mighty things through him. Yet his children hated, despised the Lord. Listen, it really is, honestly, you have, if you look at the things that God can do, he can do with only with you, only with you. You cannot control how God is going to have a relationship with your children. You could speak to them and allow the Lord to speak through you, right? But that's not your responsibility. You can't take that burden upon yourself because you can't do anything about that. It's just you, just you. So he says, look at what he says in verse number 13, Genesis 31, 13. He says, I am the God of Bethel. If you would even begin to see how important that is, what I just read there. He says, I am the God of Bethel. You know what he said there? Listen, I am the God of Bethel. Just let that sink in for you a little bit. I am the God of Bethel. What does Bethel mean? House of God. What is he saying? I am the God of my house. I am the God of my house. Who is he God of? His house. His house. God is the God of his house. And you know what? Even in the case where he is a God of his house, there are people that yet are just beginning to learn what it means to allow God to reign in their hearts. And that means that even people that are of the kingdom of God today suffer and go through things that they need not suffer through or go through. but it happens to them, right? But it's important for us to know this while we leave here today, that God is the God of his house.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.